Off the Ball's the best, number one.
It's the GOAT of sports apps.
Talk about the greatest of all time. Big Joe's the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. We know it.
I'm going to say, right. I'm the Djokovic of this scenario.
Love it.
Download the OTV sports app now.
Give people background of Maggie. Her latest thing that she managed to do was this year she did the men's county final, first woman ever to do the men's county final in Cavan. It was a senior replay and she was the first one. I mean, you know, people like Maggie will say, oh, it's nothing, but it is something.
It is something, it absolutely is. And there's so many girls that are going to be looking on at Maggie and seeing what they can achieve. You know, I definitely playing, never had a woman referee ever. I don't think I have yet. And that's something that's changing. I definitely see it now more in the underage, and you can see it with the likes of Maggie with the inter-county. So it's brilliant to see, and it's only going to keep changing. And we see it in lots of different fields through women's sport that things are changing, and it's brilliant to see it.
Would you ever referee yourself?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's something that I would do. I think I'd probably do more coaching or managing. I definitely would go down that line more than I would refereeing.
Why not?
Just wouldn't be for me. No, I just wouldn't be able. It's tough, and I know we're going to get into it with Maggie. Like, it's very, very tough. Like, I'm sure she's had her fair share of sideline abuse, and that comes with it, unfortunately, but it does. And I don't know if I'd be the best for all of that. So no, that's probably why I wouldn't. But
you get abused as a manager too, though, or as a coach, wouldn't you?
You do, yeah. I suppose you do, yeah. But I suppose you're probably getting that from your own if they're telling you made a wrong decision or you did this or that. But sometimes with a referee, it's just unthankful, isn't it, at times? So it would be very, very tough. But no, look, not for me, but do admire women for getting involved in it.
And how do you interact with referees? Are you the quiet player or are you the one who's a pain?
Oh God, well, I'd say if anyone's listening they're going to be laughing, but no, I look, at times I'd be known to ask a few questions, just so I can learn. That's what I say. But no, always have the most respect, because it's a really difficult job. And of course, as players, you're going out, you put a lot of time in, a lot of training in, and you want the game to go your way. And if you think a decision has gone the wrong way, you know, it's tough. You know, it really is. And sometimes you can be asking too many questions of a ref, and I definitely have been seen to do it at times. But I think we've all been there as players at one point or another. But yeah, definitely don't envy their job at times.
And this is very interesting now, as we get insight into your personality. You know, oh. So you're the type who would ask questions looking for clarification, but you feel that on the other side it might be seen as a bit of haranguing.
I'd always question at times, yeah, just to make sure the right decision was made. But what's the point? As I always say, the ref is never going to change their mind. Whatever they said is stuck, and there's no point asking. Yeah, they definitely have a tough job.
Is that true, Maggie Farrelly? Does the ref ever change their mind?
Probably not, no.
See, I'm on the money, Maggie.
99% of the time you definitely don't change your mind. It's one of those laws that you don't do.
Yeah, well, I suppose you tend to have the best view, and you have to be kind of stuck. You have to stick with your decision, because you're making a decision based on the best information you have at that time. But at the same time, I can only imagine, I wouldn't referee for all the tea in China, all the money in Dubai. I couldn't cope with that kind of pressure, because I think people come at me and like, okay, yeah, you were right, I'll change my mind. Like, you don't learn that kind of resilience, Maggie, overnight, I'm assuming. It took time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Again, you only have a split second decision, so you have to make any kind of decision. And whether you're right or wrong, you just go with your instinct in terms of, you know, what you've seen and in terms of your position as well. But you just go with it, like, you know. And if you're wrong, you put your hand up and you point the other way, you know, if you genuinely, you know, had made a mistake, you know.
Well, you're only human, you're not a robot, which I think sometimes we all forget when we're standing on the line going, oh, how did the referee miss that? It's because the referee is not a robot.
Yeah, and of course you have to take into consideration as well, like, you know, it's like, you know, the players often make mistakes too, you know, and managers and coaches along the sideline too, you know. So like as you said there, we are all human, and it's just trying to alleviate those mistakes and try to, you know, get the best performance out of you as an individual.
When we were talking here while we were trying to get your line back up and running again, Maggie, I was asking Aisling if she'd ever referee, and she said, no way. There was no even thinking about it, and I'd be the same. And I'd say if we asked 100 people, 99 would probably say the same thing. So what attracted you to it from day one?
Well, like yourselves, there was no attraction for me either, sort of, to be honest. I suppose initially was that the club had asked me to do it. I was doing a wee bit of coaching, and I heard Ashley mention there that you might go down the route of maybe becoming a coach or a manager. So, you know, sometimes when you have a whistle in your mouth when you are coaching, you know, that you might make a good referee, maybe, you know, being able to control what happens in training and whatnot. But yeah, I just stepped in because the club needed a referee, and I actually thought that it was just going to be a little bit of underage football, you know, with the boys and that, and that's all it was. You know, I never seen it as really a pathway or somewhere that I would end up refereeing a senior county final, to be honest. It was, you know, obviously then, I suppose then the opportunities came my way, and maybe the county board, or, you know, at the time, seen something in me and to give me that opportunity to go on to. I was put onto the Ulster Academy in 2011, so I spent 2 years on that. And then became a fully fledged Ulster men's referee then in 2013. So it's taken a wee bit of time, you know, but it's the same for everybody else, I suppose. You know, it's having that patience and the resilience to stay with it, you know.
Did you ever have the kind of day where you just wanted to come home and say, I quit?
not particularly, you know. No, like, look, things are never, you know, you're never going to get everything right, and that's the key that, you know, in terms of your mentality, you know, you're never going to get everything right, and it's, you know, like, sometimes things doesn't go your way, and you wish that you had an opportunity to do it again and whatnot, you know, but you just have to live with it, and again, that makes you stronger and that builds your resilience for the next time, and what you learn in that moment is huge learning going forward, you know.
And Maggie, you said that it wasn't the path that you chose to go down, it sort of just happened for you, but you obviously really enjoyed it when you were doing those underage games to then go on and to do these bigger inter-county games.
Yeah, I suppose, like, you know, when you're, like, we all know how passionate people are about their club, and, you know, how much that means to them on an individual basis, you know, and I felt like, you know, I was doing, you know, representing my club and doing what I can to assist them, you know, just having a club referee. So, yeah, look, I seen it as an opportunity just to help out the club. But then as I was refereeing then, I obviously enjoyed refereeing and then meeting different people and, you know, going to different clubs and whatnot. And then slowly but surely then I could progress then into adult reserve football and then into the league and championship. And it sort of kind of snowballed then after that, you know, into county games then and you know, obviously the underage minors and under-17s and whatnot. So it was a steady progress throughout. But yeah, of course, if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to do it. But yeah, so essentially, I am enjoying it, and I love doing what I'm doing, I suppose.
And there's no denying though that it does bring its own pressure, because you refereed. What year was it? You did the ladies All Ireland football final for the first time.
2014 for the senior final.
Yeah. I assume you were appointed to that, and you thought this is brilliant. What a milestone! But also, wow, this is a big job.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're entrusted. You're appointed on merit, to, you know, to officiate at any game like this goes, and no bigger is the All Ireland senior final. Like, you know, it's a great honour for me to, you know, to referee that game. And yeah, of course, there's a massive pressure, but there's pressures there for players and pressure there for managers as well. And I've been able to deal with that and being mentally prepared to deal with it, I suppose, on the day, you know, and not letting the occasion get to you, you know. But it wasn't just my first time, you know, officiating in Croke Park, you know, so it was just, you know, like, it's a gradual stepping stone again, you know, to those bigger games.
Does it require a mental gymnastics? Because I'm just thinking, you know, when you deal with ladies football, there's a clock and it counts backwards and there's different rules and, like, there's a hooter and there's no doing those kind of sums. And then you go into the men's game and you're adding on additional time and you've got two watches and you've got, you know, people saying, come on, ref, blow it up, and you let it go for one more play. Like, I wouldn't be able to multitask. I'd forget if I was refereeing men or women and I'd make a mistake. Like, that has to be... Most referees don't have that complication, I suppose, what I'm saying. They just do the one gender and the one set of rules.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. Well, I suppose there is a number of referees that actually do referee in cross codes and cross sports and whatnot. And I suppose it's your preparation that it comes down to, you know, like, that you're mentally preparing for the game in hand. And then also, you know, you're constantly just reading the rule book and just keeping yourself up to speed. with the rules and enforcing them as they go along. And obviously, no matter what game you referee, you are going out with two watches, and you know, everything is the same in that respect, and you are keeping an eye on time, and you know, you've got a team of officials with you, you know, your umpires and linekeeper and whatnot. So, you know, nothing really changes in that respect. But yeah, the rules do. The rules definitely do change, you know, and I suppose it's just trying to keep on top of them and just maybe reading the rule book the night before a game or whatever it is. That's, you know, how people prepare, you know.
Maggie, we see a lot now, it's been covered quite a bit in the media this year, that how tough it is for a referee and sometimes the abuse that they can suffer from the sideline, from on the pitch. Have you experienced anything like that?
Look, I suppose like we've all encountered situations that, you know, that probably are not nice at times, you know, but it's moving on from them and not dwelling on them, because, you know, that's where a lot of research would point out, that a number of referees that, you know, has been subjected to maybe a lot of abuse or some abuse or minimum abuse, maybe has stepped away from actually doing the job they enjoy, you know, in refereeing. You know, so that's, you know, that's massive on an individual, because, you know, like we as GEA officials or LGFA officials, like we're volunteers, like, you know, and we're giving up our time to officiate games. So, like, you know, for people to get abused, regardless of what sport they're in, it shouldn't happen, and there's no place for it, really. Like, and I suppose it's up to each association to deal with that accordingly.
Are we doing enough?
There's definitely a lot of improvements has been made over the last number of years, and particularly the GE and the LGFA have moved with the new system of CODA in terms of disciplinary. So that's been massive as well. So it has, yeah. There has been strides taken, so there is, but there's probably still work to do. But again, it's us as officials then that we're able to report that, and you know, if we are being subjected to abuse, that, you know, that it's in our hands as well. That if we report it, then that it should be dealt with accordingly. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's two prongs to that. It's that when referees report it, that actually it's acted upon, and somebody doesn't get an opportunity to perhaps appeal and get away with it. And two, I think more importantly, I think we bring the culture with us. So those of us who are standing on the sideline, coming in and watching, I think we're possibly far too laid back on this. We just stand there and let other people do it. And when you think about it, in any other setting, if you heard somebody abuse people the way we've heard referees or players be abused in any other life kind of setting in a normal place, we wouldn't allow it. But yeah, we go into a GAA ground in particular, and we saw as well actually with the underage soccer referees before Christmas, we just let it go. So there's probably a cultural thing there.
There is, yeah, and of course research would point to that as well, that it's an accepted norm, you know, like that behaviour exists and it has existed throughout the history of our sports, you know, so it is, but it's given the opportunity now to change it and deal with it, you know, and again, that starts from underage right up to senior adult level as well, so it does, you know, to ensure that those levels of abuse doesn't sort of carry forward onto the field of play and whatnot.
And just when Moira Trasa was asking me, Maggie, if I want to be a ref, the first thing I said was, no, my God, the abuse. That was the first thing that came to my mind. And I suppose my question to you is, did that ever come into your mind? Was that something when you were getting into the adult teams? Obviously underage, maybe not so much, but then when you get to those adult teams, that features in a bit. It never threw you to think to yourself, no, I don't want to get involved in this because of that? Or were you always happy enough with your refereeing?
No, I was always happy enough, to be honest, Ashley. Yeah, you're never going to get everything right, but it's just being able to manage that, and I suppose we often refer to like a referee needs to have a thick skin, and maybe that's what I have. Maybe I have a thick skin, and like the
you
water
definitely need that. Comes
back. Yeah. So you kind of, you know, you let things maybe just go over your head a wee bit, you know, and not, you know, the most important thing is, like, you know, for any referee is that when you step across the white line, you're a referee. But then once you step across the white line after the game, you're just, you know, doing your job. You know, you're a sister, you're a mother, you're a father. You know, you've got a different, you know, role outside of that 70 minutes or 60 minutes of sport, you know. So it's very important that, you know, that you don't take that. Take that home with you and dwell on it, like, you know, that you deal with it there and then, you know.
We had a panel on earlier this afternoon. Actually, I'd encourage, if anyone's interested in high performance sport, to have a listen back. We were speaking to an S&C coach, a sports psychologist and a team doctor about, you know, how backroom teams are run and how the standards are increasing for men and women, but especially women, because we started off later, you know, so we didn't get the same exposure to sports science perhaps as men did in previous years, and we're catching up, and therefore the trajectory for women's sports is practically going up in a straight line, Maggie. So you're in a really good position now to actually give us your opinion, because they were telling us, you know, the differences they see between men and women when it comes to strength and different kinds of injuries and that kind of thing. So when you're in the thick of it, say for a senior men's team, say, and a senior women's team, say two very good club teams, what's the main difference do you find when you're in the thick of it in between those two battles?
Well, sometimes it's the style of play that teams adopt, you know, like, you know, so the tactics can have a massive influence in that, in terms of, you know, the free flow and off the game. Now, we see a lot of defensive play, you know, a lot of defensive setups and whatnot. So, you know, the speed of the game can be slow at that time, and a lot of lateral play takes place. So, you know, like the speed sort of comes out of it. But yeah, definitely, I suppose, with my involvement, you know, for the last number of years, you know, in both codes, I can definitely see where the ladies' game has definitely got, you know, up to speed in terms of the speed of the game itself and the physicality of players and whatnot. Like, you know, there's a lot of work, a lot of really good work has been done, you know, across the board, like, you know, at club and county level, just to improve the standard of playing. And we've seen that, you know, over the years with the likes of Cork and Dublin and now Meath, obviously, as well. So, like, there's massive improvements throughout.
Put you on the spot a bit now. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer refereeing men or women?
I actually don't have any preference, to be honest. I actually enjoy both, so I'm going to stay on the fence on that one. So
that is a wonderful political answer. Have you ever thought about going into politics? If you can handle refereeing, you could then go into politics. I mean, are they that different at the end of the day when you go out?
They're not really, no, because essentially, like, your job is to referee what's in front of you, you know, and you've got rules, and the players have the rules, and everybody has the rules, you know, and it's just being able to implement them and apply them.
And do men and women treat you any differently when you're out there?
Not really, no. No, there's no difference. Like, you know, like, at the end of the day, you're there to referee, and any referee can, you know, make a wrong decision, and, you know, you get on with it. Like, you know, that. I don't think it's just a man v woman thing. Like, it's just, you know, the referee, and sometimes that, as we previously spoke about, the culture, you know, to referees maybe mightn't be very positive anyhow, you know. So it's just, you know, it's just getting on with it and just doing your job, you know, for the 60 or 70 minutes that you're involved.
And Maggie, do you see more and more women getting involved in refereeing now?
Yeah, you'd be hoping definitely that, like, within my own county, in Cavan, there'd be a number of referees, you know, who are females refereeing girls' football only. There's nobody else that I know of that's involved with men's football. So, yeah, of course, the opportunity is there, you know, once it's been done before, it can be done again, you know, and there's no reason for anybody not to, you know, take it up, you know. You know, the opportunity is definitely there.
Are you comfortable with, because I find this with, you mightn't like this, but, you know, you are a role model to some people out there, because there are some people out there who do aspire to be referees, men and women, boys and girls. You are a role model because you are blazing a trail for people coming after you. Do you ever think about that, or are you even comfy with it, or do you just prefer to not even think about it?
To be honest, it's not something that I really dwell on or even think about. I suppose I'm focused on my next game and you know, where I'm going with my own referee development. I suppose that's my focus. And you know, and when you're refereeing in both codes, you're always trying to do the best that you can and accommodate and make yourself available for games. So you're always just thinking about what you're doing. And I'm still playing a wee bit of football as well, and back playing with my own club now.
Oh, are you?
So yeah. So. like, there's a lot of balancing going on, so there is. So I just juggle a lot of things at the weekends, just trying to accommodate, I suppose, refereeing and playing. So you're just focusing on yourself and seeing what you can do and just trying to see what way you can, I suppose, develop next, I suppose.
Well, that's very interesting now. So you're a referee, yes, who's playing. So what are you like as a player?
I'm obviously on my best behaviour all the time. You know, I set the example there. No, Lucas, you're just, at the end of the day, you know, you're when you're playing, you're obviously very competitive and you're always trying to do the best thing you can do, you know, in every given opportunity. I suppose the fact that I'm so heavily involved in refereeing, you know, I don't always get a start with my club team because I miss so much of maybe training and maybe games, because ultimately I have to make a decision every weekend. If I'm down to referee, you know, a club game, or, you know, or if I'm down to, you know, for playing, for example, you know, sometimes you're forced into having to maybe take the refereeing role rather than the playing role. So it's trying to juggle all that, so it is. But yeah, look, I enjoy playing. I enjoy playing and being part of the team and the squad of girls, you know, and the management have been really patient as well, so, and they understand how important, I suppose, refereeing is to me as well.
And I suppose in that way you have the advantage of being that face in a sea of substitutes, and if you do say something, sure, who can say it was you? We're just going to have to wrap up here now, Maggie, which is unfortunate, because I'd say we could get lots more stories out of you. But what's next on your refereeing trajectory, or what's your next target? Because you hit a big milestone there before Christmas when you refereed the Cavan Senior Men's Final. What's next?
Yeah, so the next progression would be on to the National Men's refereeing panel. Like, you know, so I've been on the support panel for the last number of years, you know, so in that capacity you'd be doing fourth official and doing line at some of the games, but you actually wouldn't be refereeing games. So I'm hoping now to make it on to the National refereeing panel this year.
Okay, so that would involve, I'm assuming, passing a test, doing the rules, and then the fitness test as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah. So it's doing all those bits and pieces, and then you're just getting the opportunity then to referee a game maybe in whatever division that you'd be thrown into, probably Division 4, Division 3, you know, just depends on the games in hand.
Well, Maggie, we wouldn't doubt you. I have a feeling this certainly will not be the last we hear or see of you. I'd say you're going to get much more games in future, and we're really, really glad that you made time in what turned out to be a really busy schedule between refereeing and playing football and doing everything else you do. Thank you very much for giving us your time this evening, and thank you so much as well for being one of those women who's out there doing, actually man or woman, doing one of the most difficult jobs there is out there, because without people like you, we wouldn't have any games to talk about here in studio all afternoon. So, Gura Mila Mila Mahad Maggie.
Thank you very much.
Now it's time for a quick break where we get to come back to Aisling's Dream Hour, where she's really looking forward to it, when we're going to have some of the Meath footballers coming in. Aisling, which Meath footballers are coming in?
So we have Moira O'Shaughnessy, she's from Ashburn, she'll be coming in, Vicky Wall as well, and Shauna Ennis as well, the captain.
Brilliant. Stay tuned, that's coming up after the news.